Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary, a podcast designed for women in ministry. I'm Bridget Tomlin, founder of Sanctuary, a ministry for ministry wives. Our desire is to break free from isolation and foster authentic connection. Let's redefine sanctuary. Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary. So thrilled to have you with me today. My name is Bridget, and we are going to be talking today about authentic friendship. And this is something that's not uncommon for us to talk about, so I hope that you will stay on board because we're going to come at it from just a little bit different angle, and I believe that it's going to be very, very insightful to you. Today, we welcome back to the podcast Crystal Williams. She was featured in episode 10 of season 1. And I hope that you'll go back and listen if you haven't already done so. Honestly, I just re-listened to it again myself and drew a whole different level of treasured gems from that conversation. She shared about her Bible study. It's called Building Friendships That Fit. And Crystal comes to us today as a happy wife and the mother of two vibrant, highly imaginative children. She is blessed to live out her calling and lifelong dream of being a housewife, a stay-at-home mom, and a homeschool teacher to her children. Her passions include, first and foremost, of course, Jesus and her family, and she also enjoys decorating and transforming mundane moments into magical experiences. Crystal adores everything Southern, and as is evident in her effervescent personality, her humble character, and her old soul charm, you know, and you'll gather more of that through this conversation. Her home is where she's most comfortable, but she thrives also in her ability to lift up spirits and to bring hope to whomever she encounters. And you're going to hear this full of faith girl today, as it's just expressed in everything that she says and does, her fervency in worship towards God. And all of this, coupled with a lifetime of serving in ministry and the gifts in which she walks, gives Crystal the unique disposition to minister in a way that encourages, challenges, and just simply softens hearts. So, Crystal, welcome to the podcast today. I'm so glad to have you back. Crystal is actually a real-life friend to me personally, and actually more like a baby sister, and we are just loving the opportunity to get to know each other better. And honestly, it kind of, we get tickled now and again because we realize how much alike we really are, and so I can't believe we still discover things like, oh my word, she'll show up to something and we're wearing almost the exact same thing. It's kind of, it's really, really cool. We're talking about authentic friendship today, so I thought I'd bring in one of my most authentic friends to talk about it. Authentic connection, Crystal, is like sort of a buzz phrase that we continually use at Sanctuary, as it really is at the heart of everything that we're trying to do. We're trying to promote and cultivate authentic connection. And we emphasize authentic because it's such a rare find. And, you know, I've been to enough ministerial conferences and conventions, and I can tell you there's plenty of connection that's happening, but most of it is rather surface. It doesn't mean that it's completely inauthentic, but it doesn't go beyond the how's it going, doc, kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And the comparison game, of course, at those places is definitely on point, and we're measuring ministry success by cultural standards rather than kingdom standards. And so today, as we come together, Crystal's going to help us, as women in ministry and leadership, to discover, but also to facilitate for others, authentic connection and friendship. Thank you again, Crystal, for being here. I can't wait for us to unpack all of this.
Thank you so much for having me, Bridget. I'm so excited to be here as a true, genuine, authentic friend, and I'm just so excited to unpack this today.
It's going to be great.
It is.
Why do you think, Crystal, is the desire, why do you think that the desire for authentic friendship is so strong for you personally? When, you know, can you look back and discover maybe when you noticed that this craving was really starting to take root in your life?
Yeah, well, I think it's so strong for me personally because, honestly, I believe that we cannot thrive without this authentic connection. I think that we may be able to survive without it, but we cannot thrive without it. We cannot live in that abundant life that God promises us. And I think that I believe that the number one tool and tactic that the enemy uses to defeat us, to render us useless, to cause us to be powerless, to stop us from fulfilling the purpose that he has for our lives is to isolate us mm-hmm. and to buy into this lie that we are on this journey alone and that no one could possibly understand, nor would they want to understand what I'm feeling, and that this burden is mine to bear alone. And I think that as women in ministry, we've been told that it's my duty to bear this burden alone. Mm. And yet from the very moment that God created the world, he designed us with a desire to have authentic relationships. Mm-hmm. He created everything else in this world and he followed it up with, it is good. He made the stars, the moon, he made the trees, the birds, the cows, the flowers. And every time he said, it is good. And yet when he made man, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Even in the perfection of the garden, God created man with a need for relationship with more than just God. He created us for a desire for authentic community. And since the fall of the garden, we have been running from what God created us for.
Oh, wow.
Because of this dirty little word called shame. And I think that we are too afraid that if someone might see the true us, if they see the real me, the girl inside behind the smile that we plaster on our face, that we are afraid of who they might see. And so we do a really good job at keeping people at arm's length. We do a really good job of keeping the relationship at just that surface level in order to protect ourselves. And some of us even do a really good job at the attempt of bringing others down to make us feel better. And the whole time we are doing this thing of running from who God and what God created us for, which is authentic, real, genuine relationship. And then we wonder why we are walking around living unfulfilled lives. Mm-hmm. We walk around going through the motions, living lonely, crying in the shower.
Yeah.
Alone. And it's because we are not doing what God has created us to do. Being genuine, authentic community. And I have this deep-seated personal passion to help women find connection, to let them know you are not alone, to do what I can in my realm of influence to empower the women around me to see that you are a part of a sisterhood and the girl sitting next to you is not your competition. And I find this passion in me because I was the girl so long living in isolation in a ministry family because that's what we did. Mm-hmm. You kept people at arm's length. And there was something inside of me, even as a young girl, that said, there has to be more to life than this. There has to be. And when I took a risk and began to find community, I found freedom.
Yeah.
I found the freedom there, and it became a passion of mine to help the other people in my life see the freedom that comes with community.
Well, it's so true because I was raised in a ministry family as well. It's kind of a family joke now because there was always occasionally those conversations that would start amongst the family where it'd say, all right, children, now what we're about to talk about is QT. And that right. was, I don't know if that was a term that yes. was used in your yes. home, but it was like, these are things that we're going to share in this home mm-hmm. that you can't share anywhere else.
Right.
And so, of course, you feel that as a PK, and that's not like there was anything wrong with that. Obviously, that's just a part of it. That's right. just a part of the deal. It's not right. like, you know, as leaders, we're doing anything wrong by asking our children or our wives or whatever to maintain confidentiality. That's not the problem.
Right.
But it's when you find that there's no one for you to share anything about your life with.
Exactly.
And really at Sanctuary, that's why this is so important to me because it's a rare find.
It
you know,
is.
Your husband is the pastor of the church and he's going through a very difficult time. It's not wise, really, to pull in someone from the local, from your church to dish about your husband about, you know, because he's their pastor. But you need to be able to find someone. And that takes a lot more concerted effort when you're in leadership, right?
Right.
So, you know, today we, you know, we're going back, and for those, again, who didn't listen to season one, episodes 9 and 10, when it came time to talk about some of the favorite episodes of season one, Crystal, your episode was definitely at the top of the list for even my leadership team. That was, they were, you know, man, we've listened to Crystal's episode several times. So we know that this is valuable, information, and if nothing else, just a reminder to all of us. We know these things.
Right.
You know, but sometimes we just lose, in all the busyness of life, mm-hmm. we lose track of how intentional we really need to be about it. But episodes 9 and 10, we talked about The Art of Friendship with guest Kim Weir, which again, I'm just going to keep pointing people to that book. So good and really, really practical. And then we unpacked Building Friendships That Fit with you, Crystal, in episode 10. So today I want to kind of take this to ground zero. You know, Crystal, you have a daughter. I have two daughters, and we're raising these young ladies in an era where true friendship is considered to be based on your social media platform. Mm-hmm. It's based on the TikTok community or Snapchat. But I believe that many adult women, women who were raised before all of these online communities were a thing, they're also struggling right now, especially on the heels of the last few years, to reach back in their minds and reintroduce the concept of authentic friendship to their current lifestyle. So I want us to talk about what friendship looked like, you know, 10, 20, even 50 years ago. You know, my children are almost 17 and 12, and we have these conversations now and again where they'll say things like, well, what was that like in your time? And that's a beautiful question when you're not 65 or 80. I mean, I'm in my 40s, and they talk to me like,
back in the old days.
Well, back in the old days when you had to pick up the phone, and if you messed up the phone number, you had to
hang up and try it again.
When you couldn't video chat with somebody across the world. There were things when I think back to friendship in my high school. And listen, the craving that you're talking about, I've always felt like I craved a different level of friendship than most people I know.
Yeah.
Which is isolating in itself, mm-hmm. right? Because everyone else seems to be totally okay with less than. And you're standing there going, why do I expect more? Why have I yet to acquire what it is that I'm really looking for in friendship? And some of that's on me. I mean, perfectionist, you know, firstborn daughter, all the things. I mean, the checklist of all the reasons. But I think back to my high school times, and when we got together, we were fully present. The only distraction that was there would be if we had a movie playing on the TV, you know? Mm-hmm. And even that was complicated because, you know, I mean, I'm talking about an era where VCRs were just coming in, and you had to rewind it. You had to go to the store and pick up the movie, and everybody had to agree on something. You know, you didn't just hit the button. All those things. So I think minimal distractions, less distractions, maybe would have aided a different level of friendship. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that sticks out to me when I think about past friendships, for me, when I think about it, is just face to face.
Sure.
Because I think that in today's society, there is just not very much of that. Mm-hmm. It's over text message. It's over, you know, you just don't have very much face to face interaction. And so when I think about past friendships, in the olden days, if you want to call it that, the thing that sticks out to me the most is face-to-face interactions and less distractions. I think about, for adults, I think about dinner tables. Mm-hmm. I think people having people in their homes. And even in that, I can remember as a kid, the adults having the dinner table conversations, and then there was the kid table, and there was also the kid conversations happening over there, and then you would stay late, and then people would be playing games, and then the kids would be playing games, mm-hmm. and then in the room next to you, you know, like there was just the conversations that were happening late nights. There was the ice cream that happened after church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the neighborhood. This never happened in my neighborhood, but in my ideal neighborhood, you know. I think about, because I hear my mom talking about these kinds of things. So I'm, you know, we're going past, you know, but she would talk about how the people in her neighborhood, like her mom would go out and talk to the women on the porch. They would have conversations while their kids were playing out in the neighborhood. They would be playing hide and seek. And all of these things are face to face. Interacting with one another. The kids are playing together, you know, like there's no bound, you know, like there's nothing stopping.
No interruptions.
No interruptions. Yeah. There's just, it's face-to-face conversations. And I think that is seriously lacking today, because even if you're in the same room with people, people are looking down at their phone.
Yeah.
I was taking my daughter to gymnastics, and we were watching our girls practice, and I look around and all the moms are looking down at their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even have a conversation with the moms that are in the room with me, because they're all looking down at their phones. Like,
yeah,
you know, everybody's distracted.
They're connecting with 1,000 other people.
Mm-hmm.
But ignoring the handful that are in front of them.
Exactly.
Do you think that it's possible in 2021, 2022, to have a resurgence of what you and I are talking about was from decades ago?
I think, personally, there has to be. Like, we have to in order to... to survive. Like, I really believe, like, there has to be. I feel like we have been so busy fostering a counterfeit idea of friendship that we have forgotten what an authentic friendship even looks like.
Sure.
And I heard a story a long time ago, and I hope that it's true, because I'm about to say it on a national platform, so let's pray that it's a true story. But it's about how they train bank employees how to spot counterfeit money.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that in order to spot counterfeits that you would need to know what a counterfeit bill looked like. But they actually don't train them by looking at counterfeits.
Right.
They train them by studying the authentic.
The real thing.
They only study the authentic, and they know the authentic bill so well and so intimately and so deeply and so personally that they easily spot the counterfeit. And I think that we need to stop studying the counterfeit relationships. I'm not saying that you need to go and delete your social media, because it is a good thing. It can be good. It's a good tool, and it's fun to connect with people that we haven't talked to in years. But what I am saying is we need to stop replacing the authentic for the counterfeit. I think that the enemy has done a really good job of making us think that we have authentic relationships because we have 2,000 friends on Facebook and we got 100 likes on the post that we posted. And so we're doing good, right? And yet, at the end of the day, we're lonely. We're unfulfilled. And we're crying ourselves to sleep at night because nobody understands what we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have replaced an authentic relationship with a counterfeit one. And I go back to what I said earlier, was that God, from the foundation of the earth, when he created the earth, created you and I with a need for authentic relationships. And we've done a really great job of replacing that with a counterfeit.
Well, I think that that's so true. That's really what I want us to draw out from this today, is just maybe a fresh reminder. I mean, you know, we host, even through Sanctuary, we have what we call Let's Connect events that happen quarterly. My assistant, Rochelle, oversees a lot of that how that all gets set up every quarter. And I'll be honest, it's like one of the most excruciating parts of what she does. And I know that because I used to do it myself. It's like, why do you think I gave this to you to do?
Congratulations.
I think that it's frustrating because, first of all, we have some amazing women that have stepped up and said, okay, this is important, which that's step one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the acknowledgement of the situation. This is a need in my life. This is a need in someone else's life. How can we fix this problem? But then the negotiating, there's two hurdles that happen before Let's Connect can actually happen. And for those that have never heard of or have never attended, these are just what we call casual dinner gatherings where women in the same, you know, community or reasonable distance get together and they just meet for dinner. There's not a devotion shared. There's no worship set to prepare. They meet at a restaurant typically or a coffee shop or something. And they're just meeting other women in ministry, other ministry wives. So it's not hard to host these. What's hard is the getting the communication lines cleared enough, because there's a million different community. Everybody has their selection of one communication tool, and you have to find out what that is. Yeah. So do they respond to Facebook message? Do they respond to text message? Do they respect to email? Do I need to send out a pigeon? Whatever we got to do. And so getting that nailed down, making that a priority in the calendar is the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the date settled and the communication back, and then actually showing up. What if nobody shows up? We get those questions all the time. And we've had hosts that have shown up and no guests showed up. Those kinds of things. There are so many variables and risk, and it feels like so much work.
Yeah.
To be face-to-face now. It's so much easier. It's so inconvenient to do more than just do it from a screen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to decide how important it is and make a lot. Because, you know, I have people tell me all the time, I'm just too busy for that. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Let's talk about busy.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we compare calendars? It's about what is important
right.
to you. What you prioritize in your life. We have time for the things that are important to us.
Exactly.
We have time for the people that mm-hmm. are important for us. And so that's really where we want to come back to, is a reminder, okay, this is really important, but you're going to have to do something to do that. I want to take just a moment at this break to share with you about one of our sanctuary sponsors. They actually sponsor our Let's Retreat and have been a huge blessing to each of our guests. That would be the North Texas District Church Loan Fund. The North Texas District Church Loan Fund exists to help Assembly of God churches throughout the state of Texas advance their God-given purpose. Investors have confidence that their money is used for kingdom purposes and not invested in causes that they don't believe in. When you invest in the NTD Church Loan Fund, you invest in the lives of people. They are committed to serving and impacting people's lives for God. They describe the Church Loan Fund as a win-win-win. It's a win for investors who make a difference with their investments and earn competitive returns. It's a win for churches who have access to funds for real estate needs, and the loan process is simpler and many times less expensive than traditional bank loans. And finally, it's a win for the North Texas District Council. A portion of the profit generated by CLF is distributed to the North Texas District for church planting and development, youth and kids ministries, their Lakeview District Camp, and many other ministries and projects. I would like to encourage you to learn more about this Church Loan Fund by visiting their website that can be found in today's show notes, churchloanfund.ag. How do you, Crystal, recommend that we shift the paradigm in like a practical sense as women in general and then as leaders?
Yeah. Well, I think back to when I was a teenager, it was really popular, at least in the area that I lived. What would Jesus do? Bracelets came out and then like the shirts were really popular. And so what would Jesus do? And so I go back to what did Jesus do? What did he do? Because as women, as leaders, as people in general, we are supposed to model our life after Jesus. And so I look into the Gospels and he modeled friendship in the most beautiful way possible. Mm-hmm. And so I look and I say, what did Jesus do? How did he model friendship? And I look at him, and he had people around him continuously. He had his inner circle, his very close friends. He had his outer circle, and then he had the crowd around him, you know, his acquaintances. But he did three things consistently,
okay,
all the time. And these are three things that I think that are very practical for us to take away, and I think that we can learn a lot from them. But he did three things. He slowed down, and in his slowing down, he commanded the people around him to also slow down. And he broke bread.
Yeah.
And then he invested into the people around him. And when I say invested into the people around him, I don't mean ministry. Because yes, Jesus was continuously doing ministry. And as women in ministry, yes, we are continuously doing ministry. But when I say invest into the people around him, I mean he invested in conversation.
Yeah.
He invested love. And he invested time. I don't mean he invested wisdom, because yes, he did do that. But he invested time, he invested love, and he invested conversation. And that's what I mean by investment. But I want to say this. We are a society that has been told that we have to fill our calendars with things to fill our calendars to be successful. And if our calendars are not full, then we are not doing something right. Mm-hmm. And we need to slow down. We have to slow down. Our families and our relationships are suffering because of a full calendar. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry I'm saying hard things. I apologize. But I'm just saying we need to model our life after Jesus. He slowed down.
Yeah.
He broke bread and he invested into people. And we need to realize that our lives are more than just our ministry.
It's huge.
That you and I and we are created for more than just the ability to pour out. We have to. We have to slow down. It is not good. Again, it is not good for us to be alone. And if we are continually, all we're doing is just pouring out into the ministry aspect and continually pouring out into our job, because let's be honest, that is our job, is our ministry. And if that is all we're doing, we're walking that road alone. Mm-hmm. And it is not good for man to be alone. And again, I'm going to point back to Jesus. If you look in the New Testament, besides Jesus going away for his quiet time, because it does say Jesus went alone to pray, there's two times in the New Testament where Jesus was alone. Alone, alone. Once when he was in the desert, for 40 days, he's being attacked by Satan, right?
Right.
And he didn't do that again. What did he do after that? He got community, right? Mm-hmm. He surrounded himself with people. But after that attack for 40 days, there's something that stands out to me. It says that Satan, he didn't just quit. It says that Satan went away until the opportune time. Mm-hmm. Okay, that really stands out to me, mm-hmm. because the next time that you see Jesus alone, besides his quiet time, is in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
Right? And yet he stops being alone for a second and he goes back out to his community.
Yeah.
And is asking for help because he's alone and he's being attacked because he knows that he's about to go and do something that, honestly, the man did not want to do.
Right.
And he goes out to his community and he's like, I need you on my side. And then he goes back alone. Man's sweating blood.
Right.
Because this is Satan's opportune time. Right? Mm-hmm. And then he goes back out to his community and he's like, people, I need you. Did you forget about me? You know? And then he goes back into the garden. And so I just want to point out that we need our community. Jesus didn't do his ministry. He didn't do his life without his community.
Right.
He had genuine, authentic relationships. And Satan is looking for the opportune time. And I think that this past year and a half has been Satan's opportune time, where he has taken us and isolated us and put fear into us and has divided us and has done everything he can to keep us alone.
True.
And has divided families, has divided friends, has used this as his opportune time, and has allowed us to fully buy into the counterfeit. And we really need to fight hard to remember what the authentic relationship is and remember that we're worth having an authentic relationship.
I completely agree with every single thing that you just said. And I think that's spot on. A fresh reminder to us that we gotta own what this is. Step one.
Yeah.
And then stop it.
Yeah.
Step two. And that's going to take some concerted effort because it's swimming upstream.
Yeah.
When we're flowing in stream with our culture, what today's believer doesn't look much different in the makeup of our everydayness.
Right.
There used to be a very specific and strategic cultural difference. And I'm not saying that all of that is wrong, that we, you know, because we do have to be bring lots of on-ramps.
Right.
Yeah, to where we are in this pursuit of Christ and the way that we serve him and live for him and all those things. And I would take a step further. While you were talking, Crystal, I was thinking about, you know, so many ministry families who don't have anything outside of ministry mm-hmm. in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
When you're with them, that's all they can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And that really compartmentalizes where you can find friendship,
mm-hmm.
because not everyone is going to be like, if I worked and had a friendship with someone who was a businesswoman, let's say she's a financial CEO of something, and all she ever talked about was her business. We wouldn't have anything in common.
Right.
If all she ever talked about was her business and what the stock market's saying and what all the decisions she's having to make for this mega company. And because that ain't my thing.
Right.
I don't want that to be my thing.
Exactly.
But if we had something else, if she let me get to know who she was as an individual, if she talked to me about what makes her happy, if she talked to me about what brings her joy, what brings her pain, maybe if she shared something about her past, or if she shared dreams for her future,
exactly.
or if we shared our relationships as families, then authentic friendship is growing. If everything about her, all that she ever offers is what she does for a mm-hmm. living, she closes the door to anyone that doesn't understand that medium.
Right.
And ministers are really, really guilty of this.
Exactly.
Because their natural assumption, especially if they're friends with other Christians, is everyone understands ministry life.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they don't. Of course, we want to set up platforms here for ministers and ministry wives to connect with other ministry wives, because you do need to talk about that.
Yes, you do.
You do need to talk about that. But you also want to open the door. God might bring someone to you in friendship that's your neighbor.
Yes.
That you don't have anything else in common aside from the fact that you're human beings and that you like to take walks in the autumn leaves, whatever.
Yes.
You know. And beautiful things can come from that. You know, you recently preached a message entitled, Who Are You in Line For? And I heard this message, and I've been talking about it to a lot of people, just saying. But I think that every single human being needs to hear this message right now. And for just a little side note, sponsorship here. This is not a paid sponsorship for Crystal Williams, but I will tell you that If you have a pulpit that is you open to guests, you should have Crystal come and preach. If it's not this message, another one, because this message specifically is going to only benefit your church body and your community. Crystal, give us kind of a quick overview of that message.
Well, it began with God asking me a question, and he said, "Who are you in line for?" And I basically told God I didn't like the question because I was like, who am I in line for? Well, I don't want to be in line for anything at all, because who wants to stand in line for anything, much less be in line for someone else? But as he began to unpack what he was showing me, I began to see that this concept was not about me, that this concept was that being in line was, and in fact, serving Jesus was that nothing about serving Jesus is about me, that this is about others. Mm-hmm. And that there would be times that I would need to be in line for someone else, that I would need to stand in line for someone who could not stand in line for themselves. And that as a church, and as believers and as Christians, that we are called to be in line for others, and that we are also called to start new lines. That as believers, that's our job, and that it is hard and it is scary and that it takes faith. But God is calling us to see the people that no one else sees, to see the needs that others overlook, and that we are called to start the lines that fills those needs. And even further than that, God is calling us to stay in the line. When it's not fun to be in the line anymore, when it gets hard, when that line is no longer benefiting you, when it gets hard and you want to quit, when you've been working hard and you've been planting seeds and you've been investing into people, and then that new church plant shows up, and it seems to reap all of the seeds that you've been planting, mm-hmm. and you want to throw in the towel and quit, you have to stay in line, because God is still calling you to do what God has called you to do.
You know, I think it's valuable to, the reason why I had you share the premise here on this platform is that it pertains to friendship as well.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that we're making choices today that will impact future generations.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
So what we're choosing today by way of investing in friendships is undoubtedly going to impact how future generations relate and cultivate community. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts as we marry those two ideas together, Crystal?
Yeah. Well, I agree wholeheartedly that what we do today impacts tomorrow. 100%. And I have often said this quote, that mean girls grow up to be mean women who have mean girls, and then that cycle continues. Mm. And that if we don't do something different, that cycle will never change. And how I model community and how I model friendships will be the example that my children will follow. And that I have to be the one to teach my daughter and the other women that other women are not her competition. And I have to be the one to show that my children that why my investment into others is worth it. I have to be the one to show them that investment in others is life-giving. I have to be the one to break the cycle of isolation in ministry life. I have to be the one to break the cycle and show them that my investment of time is worth it. I have to be the one to show them that starting a line for someone else means that other people get reached. I have to be the one to show them that when I start a line and invest in someone else, that this grows, that it becomes bigger, and that investing in friendship means that that time is worth it. And if I don't do it, they never will. That I have to show them that we are worth the investment, that they are worth the investment. And in order for us to thrive and not just barely survive, we must invest in authentic relationships.
I agree with that. You know, it's it's really huge. I'm trying to model this well in front of my children, who are daughters, who are going to be young women, who are going to raise their children as well. And as women, you know, we understand that the relationship forming is primarily modeled by the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not to children that are living in your home right now, if you're not a mom, or if you're a spiritual mom to someone, you are modeling that in front of someone. And,
yes.
You know, so let's get practical. I know we're kind of dialing in on our time here, but what are some of the first steps that our busy women in ministry can do to break the habit of neglecting or avoiding authentic friendship and really move towards like a fresh approach of friendship? What are those practical steps?
I would say in the next 6 months, take one relationship, just one. Just take one friendship, one relationship, one person, and be intentional and set dates. Set dates on your calendar so that we know that this is actually going to happen. Call and check in on your friend. Call and check in. Be intentional. Break bread with that person. If that's inviting them over to your house, if that's going out for girls' night, if that's showing up to your Let's Connect event, whatever that actually means, but breaking bread with that person, calling and checking in with them, being honest with them when they ask you how you're doing, because I think that is hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So setting in your mind and in your heart that you're going to be honest with your friend, that doesn't mean that you're going to have to give them all the details. But being honest with when they say, so how are you? Instead of saying, I'm fine, everything's great, say, you know, I'm really overwhelmed right now. And that's okay. You don't have to say everything that you're overwhelmed with,
sure,
but stating the fact that you're overwhelmed, you know? But being more than just surface level and choosing to be more than just surface level. And I say just being intentional and choosing for the next 6 months with that one friend and asking God, what relationship do I need to invest in? Because choosing which relationship you need to invest, you need to be intentional about that, because as ministry wives, it is important for us to choose which relationship to invest in.
Absolutely.
And you need to be intentional about that. So asking God, which relationship do I need to invest in? And for the next 6 months, be intentional. Be intentional. Set the dates on the calendar. Invite the friend over. Choose a coffee shop to meet at. But set the dates on the calendar so they actually happen. And do the game night. Invite the friend over for lunch or whatever works for your lifestyle, but make sure that they happen and be intentional. Do exactly what Jesus modeled. Slow down, break bread, and invest. Those are the three things that I feel like are the most practical things for us to do. But slow down, break bread, and invest. And don't allow fear to stop you, because I want to point this out. I feel like the Holy Spirit just put something in my mind, and I feel like I need to say it, is don't allow the fear of Judas to stop you from investing, because even Jesus, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, still broke bread with him.
Oh, that's good, Crystal.
And he did not treat him any differently, knowing that he was going to betray him. So I just want to say to that woman out there that is afraid of investing in a friendship because she has been betrayed for all of those times, and she has said, well, I'm not going to do this anymore because betrayal happens. Yes, even Jesus was betrayed, but he did not allow betrayal to stop him from investing in others. And I just want to tell you, don't give up. If you've tried 99 times, the 100th time, you need to do it, because it is worth it. It is worth it to have that friend. And God will send you your John. He will send you your Peter. But don't be afraid of the Judas, because she is out there, I promise you. And when you find her, this is a Holy Spirit moment right now. But when you find her, you will know it, because you'll finally be able to breathe and you will know that it was worth it. It was worth the 99 times, and you will be able to breathe and you'll be able to say, okay, this is the freedom that I've been searching for. So don't give up. You have to stay in the line, girl. You have to. Don't give up. Don't allow the fear of betrayal to stop you from investing in the friendship. Don't allow the fear of betrayal to stop you from trying, because it is worth it. I'm telling you, it is worth it. You are not meant to be alone. And so I just want to tell you, don't give up. Don't give up trying. Don't give up hope, because it is worth it. I promise you it is worth it.
It's absolutely worth it. And, you know, just as we close today, I just to piggyback on that a little bit, Crystal, to just challenging our women to our listeners that may have been tempted to close doors that God opened.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes somebody reaches out to you and you're not willing to let them.
Yeah.
We get so programmed as leaders into being the doers that we have a hard time being the receivers.
So true.
And sometimes that's the doorway that God is bringing for authentic connection to happen.
Yeah.
We all know when we want someone to be, we desire to bless someone, if how it feels if they reject that. You know, even well-meaning people, like right. If you want to bless somebody, they're like, no. And they just shut you down. And you know, God told you to give that to them or to do something for them. But when we're on the flip side, it's hard to receive. But it may be that is God giving you friendship.
Right.
Finding that need in your life that someone can fill.
Right.
Allowing them to fill that need,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times is the launching pad for a really great friendship.
Right.
And I'm preaching to the choir, because, I mean, you and I are both very much doers and definitely like to be the ones that are looking for those needs and filling those needs and all those things. And it's difficult to be on the receiving end. I think back a year ago, September, when I came home from a conference and had COVID-19, and someone reached out to me and said, can we bring you a meal? And I didn't even think about it. I didn't pray about it. I didn't, nothing. I absolutely said, oh no, we're good. And about 24 hours later, when I was starting to panic a little bit, when this thing set in and I had two kids that were quarantined at home with me and my husband was trying to balance everything, I realized that was a stupid move. And I had to totally lower my head and pull back my phone and reach out to that person and say, I know I said I didn't need that, but I really do. And what I found out is that it gave people an opportunity to do something for me when I'm typically someone that doesn't really need people to do something for me, if that makes sense.
Right.
And it gave them a privilege of friending me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that drove, some of them 30 minutes from where they lived to where I live in order to deliver a meal to my family. And part of it was just like, oh, I hate this. Like, I just couldn't, it was just counter my character. Like, I could not stand the thought of someone going that far out of the way. And yet the other part was like, I can't believe someone would do that for me.
Yeah.
And it took me in my vulnerability saying, I'm sorry, I do need that. And that opened up the gateway for people to feel like they really knew me better, even though there was no interaction. Believe me, they dropped it on the porch. But afterwards, you know, I was able to connect with those people on a different level because they met a need for me and God opened that door. So why don't you take just a moment before we go and let's just pray that God is going to bring about these kinds of divine appointments. And I love what you said even about being afraid of the betrayal in order to welcome those that will be true, because it is risky.
Yeah, it is.
But God can bring about those divine appointments and we will let him do that.
And he will.
Why don't you just pray over us?
Well, Father God, I just thank you right now for every listener. And God, I just thank you, Lord, that you see her right where she's at. And I thank you, Lord, that she is not invisible, that she is not forgotten, that you see her. And that she has purpose. And God, I thank you that you are sending her right now that friend that she needs. Yes, God. I don't know where she is. I don't know where the friend is. But God, you do. And I thank you, Lord, that you are sending that friend to her right now. Mm-hmm. That you are making the way. That you are opening the doors. That you're opening the conversations. You're opening what needs to happen. And Father God, as this listener is listening, I thank you, Lord, that you are softening her heart to take down the walls, to be a receiver of a friendship and not just a giver. I just thank you, Lord, that you will not allow fear to overtake her and stop her from receiving the gift that you want to give her through a friend, to fill the need that you created her with, which is to have a true, genuine, authentic friendship. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to meet her right where she is. And I thank you, Lord, that you can, you will, and you have done so, Father God. And I thank you for this right now in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. I have enjoyed this so much. This has been rich, and I know this will be one that will be on replayed and hopefully shared amongst our listenership. And listen, today, if you're listening and this is something that has encouraged you, why don't you take this as your opportunity to actually reach out to someone that is on your radar. Maybe that's your on-ramp. Maybe that's the tool that you use. Listen, I was listening to this podcast. I thought about you. Take a listen to it and let's see what God would have for us. I'd like to be intentional with you. And maybe that's your tool. Maybe that's the open door, the introduction, if you will, to what God may be trying to produce and to form in that. Crystal, you've been known to say this, friendships are not found, they are formed. And so go out and form an authentic friendship this week. Be blessed and we'll see you in a few weeks. Fifth Avenue Resources is a full-service advertising specialties company offering a wide range of promotional items to promote your company. They help businesses and ministries of all sizes find a cost-effective way to market and promote their ventures and goals with custom promotional items that speak to your customers, clients, and communities. With Fifth Avenue Resources, the possibilities are only limited by your imagination. And the added bonus is this marketing resource is led by ministry wife, Haley Miller. Haley and her company proudly sponsor Sanctuary and provide resources to its annual Let's Retreat. So check out Fifth Avenue Resources at their website, found in today's show notes.